The epistle for Palm Sunday is taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Philippians, chapter 2. Brethren, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but abased himself, taking the form of a servant, being made to the likeness of men, and in the habit found as a man. He humbled himself, becoming obedient unto death, even unto the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath also exalted him, and hath given him a name, which is above every name, that in the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those that are in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that the Lord Jesus Christ is in the glory of God the Father. And the Holy Gospel is taken from the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 21. At that time, when Jesus drew nigh to Jerusalem, and was come to Bethpage unto Mount Olivet, then he sent two of his disciples, saying, Go ye into the village that is over against you, and immediately you will find tied a donkey and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. And if any man shall say anything to you, say to him that the Lord hath need of them. And forthwith he will let them go. Now all this was done that the word might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, Tell ye the daughter of Sion, Behold, thy king cometh to thee, meek and sitting upon a donkey, and a colt, the foal of her that is used to the yoke. And the disciples going did as Jesus commanded them, and they brought in the donkey and the colt, and laid their garments upon them, and made him sit thereon. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way, and others cut down boughs from the trees, and strewed them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. He humbled himself, being come obedient unto death, even to the death of the cross. Words taken from the epistle of today's Mass, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The gospel that we just read will be the proper last gospel of the Mass for today. And I'd like to begin the sermon this morning by telling you of a classic fable of an ancient palace and a king who loved music. In his palace, the king had a beautiful harp constructed and installed, and he had the most famous musician in the realm brought in to play this harp. And he played for the family's entertainment, but as time moved on, the children, of course, grew up and they moved away, and they forgot about the musician and the harp. Finally, one day, though, when the king died, his oldest son came back to the palace to reign from there, and he noticed right away the harp in one of the rooms. Quickly he thought of the great joy that the instrument had once brought to their family, and he called for the greatest musician in the realm to come and play the harp for his family. Unfortunately, though, this man failed to bring any satisfactory sound from the instrument. As you can imagine, though, the prince really wanted this harp to be played for his children. So he had successively new musicians come in, but they all had the same lack of success. Finally, finding no one who could play the harp, the prince had it covered with a great curtain. Then one stormy night, an old man approached the palace, and he asked for shelter and for a meal. Now the prince was like his father, a benevolent man, and so he invited the man in for dinner. Throughout the entire meal, though, the man kept looking over at the room in which the harp stood. At last he asked, Why is that harp covered? Sadly, the prince told him how the instrument had become out of tune and there was no one able to tune it. May I try? Asked the old man. Well, of course, said the king, it can't hurt to try, and especially if you know anything about harps. Well, the curtain was taken away, and the old man set to work immediately, and very soon it became clear that he did know about harps and about music. For in a short time he was playing some of the most beautiful music that had ever come from that harp. The prince was transported beyond belief back to his childhood, and the memories of that harp music filled him with delight. When a pause came in the music, he eagerly asked the man, "How is it that when all my greatest musicians failed, you have succeeded so wonderfully?" "It's all very simple," replied the stranger. "I am the one who made that harp." My dear friends, just as the man who made the harp was the only one who could tune it to perfection, so too our wills were created by God, and He alone is the master who can direct them towards eternal perfection. Our will is one of those precious possessions which is so delicate that if it's put into the wrong hands, it will be ruined. When our wills do not conform to God's will, we will have no peace here on earth. And if that state persists, we will have no eternal peace in the blissful state of heaven. In today's liturgy, we see how fickle and how changing is the will of man when it's not in union with God. On the first Palm Sunday, the immense multitude sought to make Christ an earthly king, even though this was not the will of God for him. Nevertheless, they proclaimed his majesty high and loud at the top of their voices. They proclaimed his dignity and even put their coats down so that his animal could walk on them. They did this to show their total subjection to our Lord and the earthly king that they wanted him to establish. They paid no attention when the rulers of the temple sought to forbid this show of honor. They even consented when our Lord went into the temple and cleansed it of unworthy buying and selling. And yet, for all their emotional fervor, where was this crowd on Good Friday? On Good Friday, they were just as emotional, they were just as vivacious, but now they were clamoring for our Lord's death. You see, their wills were not united to the will of God. So when they felt like making Christ a king who would overthrow the Roman authority, they exalted. But then on the other hand, when they felt like Christ was not the Messiah that they expected, he wasn't what they wanted for themselves, they equally clamored for his death. They were blown back and forth, to and fro, by the winds of their passions, and their will, rather than being firmly established in the will of God, was equally tossed to and fro. We ourselves are in a certain danger, my dear friends. The world around us in the last month or so has changed more abruptly than we could have ever imagined possible. So many different aspects of our current lives have changed. There are added dangers, regulations, insecurities that are now present and which many of us have never experienced before. For many people, even among our closest relatives and friends, the events surrounding the current epidemic have threatened them with complete financial ruin and the loss of their occupations. There is the unknown factor of how long these changes will last, or how great will be their consequences in our future lives. And in this trying time, we only have one place to turn in order to keep our peace of soul and in order to weather this storm. The one place that we must put all of our hope and confidence is in a complete conformity to the will of God. As we read in the Old Testament book of Daniel, "There is no confusion for them that trust in Thee, O Lord." There is no confusion when we follow the will of God, because His will, my dear friends, does not change. He does not alternate as we so often do, willing one thing today and another thing tomorrow. His will is fixed on the eternal plan that he put into action. which will lead to his honor and glory and to the salvation of many souls. And so we live each day following his unchanging will and saying in our minds and in our hearts, "Thy will be done." We cannot, it's true, always see from our limited aspect what this will of God is perfectly or what the will of God will be for us in the future. But we know that if we stay conformed to what he wants, all will work out in the end. We might not see from the Palm Sunday of our lives what is about to come upon us on Good Friday. Nor again on Good Friday will we know what God has prepared for us on our Easter Sunday. But what we do know is that if we take each event as it comes, if with each event and decision that we have to make, we conform ourselves to the will of God, what would God want me to do right now, or what would God want me to do in this situation, then we will be able to persevere no matter what happens in the future. Our Lord, during Holy Week, showed us a perfect example of this. He remained peaceful and calm while riding into town in a kingly procession. He was not swept away or taken up by the great show of emotion and the supposed love and adoration that they gave him that day. Nor was he led to the depths of despair when he mounted Mount Calvary and was put to death for our sins. Our Lord showed us that he was able to stay peaceful and calm because all of these events were in the will of his eternal Father, and so he endured all of them with peace and contentment, whether they were great things like the triumphal procession into Jerusalem or whether it was the pains of his agony and passion. He set us the example so that when times like these come to our lives, we will know how to act. We have to be like that harp in the story, which responds only to the touch of its master. Only our master, that is God himself, should be able to make our will go from one thing to another. Only God can command our will, unless we wrest it from him. And if we do this, we will never have peace. Respond then to the will of God in your own life by following his commandments and by praying to him for the grace to do what he desires of you each and every day. By this you will have peace and you will be following in the footsteps of our divine Savior. Footsteps, it is true, that may lead for a time through a way of sorrows, but footsteps that will eventually lead straight to the eternal happiness of heaven. May Almighty God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.